You have no conscience? Well, you ought to get one. I mean, I never say that anyone should dress any way because of men. I hear that a lot. Oh, well, men are such animals. Well, that's true, but men can be animals no matter how you dress. That's not a valid argument. The reason we ought to dress modestly is because God loves modesty. He puts a value on modesty. We are called to be modest, not to be proud. And for women, that is, yes, it has a lot to do with the way you present yourself to society. If you follow after the prideful ways of society and the way you array yourselves, and you know, I am very much against setting all kinds of rules and regulations about what is proud, what is not. You judge for yourself. I've been walking around in this world for nearly 40 years, and I've noticed something. Not everyone is beautiful. You know, some people, no matter how hard they try, they're going to be ugly. And I think it requires a great deal of restraint on the part of someone who has beauty to not try to exploit that to the maximum. You know, you're exploiting that to the maximum. But there's other people who have no hope of exploiting it. Because they literally have no comeliness in their appearance. And why should they continually be made to feel inferior by your constant prancing about pridefully like that? If you're a Christian, show a little humility for the sake of other people who are not so blessed as you. Yeah, our society puts a ton of value on that, but Christ does not. So you ought to get that through your thick little skull. You say, what? This is nothing. What's the big deal, the way I dress? You're not saying that because you have a clean conscience in God. You're saying that because your conscience is past feeling. It's one thing to have a clean conscience, and it's another thing to have a seared conscience. We all have a long way to go, but we all got to start learning somewhere. Because the men delight to have it so, they don't complain.
I'm a Christian man. Follow after Jezebel, sweetheart. Just go ahead. I love it.
Then I advise their women, don't you think you ought to be a little more modest? It's not just because of lust. They're proud of them. They want to show them off. Look what I've got. But how is it that people say, you know, we have on one hand a church, they have works, charity, service, faith, patience, works. And then, at the same time, there's Jezebel. In the midst. Jezebel, leading us culturally away from God, leading us away from the righteousness of God, leading us to fornication. It's the same influence that causes them to live in fornication. You know, it's like a cultural influence. And the thing is, say, well, it's cultural, it's not religious. It's all religious, really. You know, whatever occupies your mind, whatever you devote yourself to, it's like religion. I know it's not technically religion, but it's like,
but it competes with religion. Wheresoever your treasure is, your heart will be also. So where is your heart? Where does your heart often stray? What and where is your treasure? Is it upwards to the things of God? Inwards to the things in the scriptures? To the truth? Is that where your heart is longingly straying? Oh, if only I could have righteousness. If only I might partake of the divine nature. If only I could dip my tongue in that eternal living water that Christ gives. Is that where our thoughts and desires and our dreams, you know, is that where those lines converge? Or are our thoughts and dreams and expectations converging on other things? And see, they compete. Cultural influences compete with the religious influences of Christianity. I mean, the world is enmity with God. We live in the world, yes, but friendship with the world is enmity with God. And the more we give ourselves to the world, and we have to give ourselves to it to some degree, obviously, to live and prosper and to be able to function and preach the gospel even, we give ourselves to it to some degree. But the greater part must be committed to Christ. We must commit our heart to Christ. While we outwardly do things in the world, we have to remember that that is not an excuse to just give ourselves over to it. If our heart is going after it, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And also the body does. What we're doing can be an indication of us giving our lives over to the world. I mean, look, we two guys may work full-time jobs, and in some ways you say, well, they're both giving themselves over to worldly pursuits, earning money, making a living, raising a family, all worldly. But this is necessary. But it is what is not necessary. It is in those things that you begin to reveal where your heart is. Because what a man, after a man has eaten and drank and his family has a roof over their head, where does he start to bestow his treasure? Of whatever treasure he has, money, time, etc. You know, you can see there the conflict of man fighting. Because it is a conflict. The kingdom of heaven wars against the world. And the world wars against the kingdom of heaven. But while we live in ignorance of this, the war is being fought. It's being fought over our hearts and minds. Some people have no religion. But I've seen in modern times, you know, there are people whose religion is video games. The new religion. And they become like Catholics and Protestants fighting over which video game system is the more wonderful. If you ever play certain games, within those games you will find certain zealots and fanatics for whom knowledge of the game is akin to knowledge of God. And if you do not, if you're not correct in your understanding of how to play their game, it's almost like you have, you're like a blasphemer. You are contemptible and put to shame. Great is Diana of Ephesus. Great is the Xbox of Microsoft. At least Catholics and Protestants had some real issues to divide over. But these people fight over nothing. But it is taken on an almost religious fervor. How can you not say that comes, that gets in the way of faith? The fervor you display for your Jezebel pursuits is in the way of religion. It's interfering with what you might otherwise do for God. People sitting there writing up about how great their God is, you know, Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo, whatever. Great is my God. They are so much better than your God. And Jezebel is that cultural influence that leads us away from the true God and into Baal worship. They could be spending that sort of effort on a real God, but it's sort of taken the place. And interestingly, Jezebel had no tolerance for the prophets of God, you know, Elijah. She didn't want it. She hated Elijah. Because Elijah said what she did was wrong. So there's a mutual animosity. And so the cultural influences fight against